Hey there, welcome to SaaS Unbound Podcast. I'm your host, Anna Dana, Head of Growth at SaaS Group, serial acquirer buying wonderful SaaS businesses to take them to the next level. And here I chat with inspiring founders and experts to get an inside scoop on how they made their business success. And today with me is Monica, head of the How to Web Conference, the leading startup and innovation conference in Eastern Europe, hosted in beautiful Romania. Welcome.
Hello, nice being with you here, Anna.
Yeah, it's good to see you.
Looking
again.
Forward to this conversation, actually.
Yeah, me too. I mean, when before we hit the record button, you just told me that you had like a bunch of calls, everything leading to the next chapter of How to Web. So, really happy to talk about this and see, you know, how it evolves. But before we start there, maybe let's start with your background. Like, how did you get to do what you're doing?
I think it's because I'm a curious person. This is how I was born, being curious. I've been studying power engineering, how to produce electricity. And while I was studying in the library, I found a book about product roadmaps. I had no idea what it's about it. I thought that it's something related with engineering. It was not. It was the book written by Bruce McCarthy, one of our previous speakers, actually, at the How to Web. And that was when I was a student. Then I started to organize a couple of hackathons for students, then for startups. I've been involved in all kinds of competitions. And at some point, I was looking for prizes for startups during winning the hackathons. And I thought what a good idea would be to send them to the How to Web conference to give them some tickets. So I started writing emails to the How to Web founder, Bogdan. And I was like, dear Mr. Bogdan Iordache, so formal. And he said, yes. And that's how I started to be aware about what's happening in Romania. That was in 2017. 2 years later, Bogdan said that he's building a new team for the conference. So I was the one applying and said, like, you know what, just give me something. I'm going to do whatever you need for this conference. We had 6 months to organize that edition, which was a successful one. And the very next edition after that, it was me leading the conference. That was after the COVID, so 2022. I had 3 years to prepare myself with no events. So here we are. I've heard that last year it was the best ever edition of How to Web, but I've heard that before, like 2 years ago.
It's evolving every year.
Absolutely. I mean, this is how I know that we are growing, hearing the feedback from the actual participants.
That's awesome. So you got hooked on that adrenaline of the events, and you're like, okay, I want to go bigger and bigger. And here we are.
I would not say that my biggest objective was to get bigger and bigger with the conference, because it's not always about the numbers. It's about the quality of people and connections you can build, and that can help you grow your business, your whatever, yourself.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah, I totally support that. All right. So, okay. What is How to Web in a nutshell, and how do you craft that concept for it to, you know, to focus on quality and to make sure that everyone involved kind of gets the best value out of it?
In a nutshell, How to Web is a conference that hosts around 3,000 participants with different backgrounds from different industries. And the way we are thinking about it is in marketplaces. We kind of have 4 marketplaces inside the conference. And usually they have some common background, or they have some common objectives. And the very first and well-known marketplace inside How to Web is, of course, the startup investment area, because we started as a startup conference and the objective was to bring resources here close to their home, mainly the investment side. And now it's a very well-known place for investors, being a meeting place with all investors from Europe and not only that are looking to put their money in the Eastern Europe region, but also to collaborate with each other. Then there is also the LP side because investors are also fundraising, of course, for their next fund. So we try to capture this need and to bring inside the conference as many relevant LPs as possible. And for the startups, of course, we all know that they either look for growing their team, so we bring relevant potential team members for them. They are fundraising, so they have the investors, of course, and not they are looking for clients. And we nurture that with the next pipeline, which is the marketplace pipeline for business development. And we are a very good place for companies that have their services or products focus on helping other companies to grow their businesses. And I mean, you can think from cloud services to accounting services. As a business, for sure, you need that. So here is a good place to find your good business partner. The third marketplace that we have is the learning and development marketplace. We have this bigger goal, I would say, like the vision to make resources and education accessible for everyone. And as a background for Romania and I think for Eastern Europe is that we have this outsourcing background and we are good tech leaders. We already have 20 or more years of software development experience, but we don't have that much experience in building the business side. So what we are doing through the conference and the agenda, we bring the best people we can connect with, invite them at the conference, share their stories. We are always looking to understand what's the very next big challenge for the local market and try to match this challenge with people that have experience in what they are building in this ecosystem of product, software as a service. We cover almost everything about building great teams, building better products, and building growth strategies. And last but not least, there is always a layer of marketplace for those who are right now in this phase of building awareness for their brand. It's well known that the conference, it's a good platform for everyone to launch their brand or to put their brand on everyone's top of mind. And that's the brand visibility and marketing marketplace, I would say.
Okay. That's really interesting. And I want to come back to that like third marketplace in a way because well we met in Bucharest for our event that we hosted with SaaS Group, and it was a dinner networking event for SaaS founders. And when I was working on that project, I had quite a few comments from founders from Romania saying, "Oh, you need like 30, 40 people to join this dinner. You probably won't be able to get them because like Romania is not a SaaS, not a really product country. We have been, like you said, outsourcing and you know, we've been in services for so long." And that's kind of like, I think at some point it got to me and I was like, "Oh my God, what are we doing? Is it like a bad bet?" Like, but we've seen all those companies emerging from Romania and we've heard, you know, about the conference as well. And I just kept kind of digging and digging. And at the end of the day, we of course found all those founders that we wanted to. But what's your take on it? Like, what's the state of SaaS in Romania? Is it growing? Like, what's going on?
Of course, it's growing. I mean, it depends the time frame you are referring, right? If you think like 20 years ago, maybe there were like 10 founders, 10 to 20 founders building product. Okay, that's how it started. I mean, 15 years ago, how it started, and it was just a handful of people super passionate about building products and how to solve real challenges. And since then, we have, I mean, this year we have launched the fourth edition of Venture in Eastern Europe, the report, where we are looking for all, we are tracking all transactions happened in Romania and in the region. And that's something that is growing like 5 to 10x every year, like the amount of our fundraising right now, and they are all in the early stage phase. So it's 100% growing. The pace is not the same with Silicon Valley, of course. I mean, we need to compare with what's happening close to our home, not what's happening on the other side. But the fact that what I've seen, for example, in the past 5 years since I've been involved in this project. 2019, we had an investment prize for a startup competition. The very first investment prize, 125K. 125K, okay. 4 years later, we had an investment prize of 885K, almost 1 million. Which is the, I mean, it's obviously that the market is growing. If investors can put their money without knowing who is going to get those money. And that's the first thing that I'm looking into the market when I'm saying like it's growing the SaaS market. Then I'm seeing the number of startups joining the projects we are developing inside the conference. We have 5 programs for them. And in Eastern Europe, we had last year more than 500 joining the conference, basically with the main reason of fundraising, because it's a program, it was a program focused on deal flow and connecting them with investors. So the market is growing, not the fast pace that we may want or seen in the in other regions. But it's something that what I heard lately is that the unpolished diamonds are right now in Eastern Europe. You just need to be there so they know you and they know that they can rely on your help.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I'm seeing as well. Like there's you guys, there is Sastanak in Croatia, and just the number of like different meetups and gatherings for founders is just mind-blowing. So it's pretty cool. All right, just because, kind of we always come back to the fundraising part, and I'm also wondering what's the deal with fundraising versus bootstrapping in the region is. So, and again, I talked to Leo, the founder of Sastanak Conference, and what he's been saying is that in a way, a lot of Eastern European companies actually benefited from being bootstrapped because all those events that we've seen on the market and all those changes with the VC, they haven't affected them as much, and they've been just steadily kind of growing, and it's been a bit calmer for them to go through all the changes. So, and you're saying that a lot of the companies that come to How2Web want to fundraise. So, are there still you think more bootstrappers or more VC funded startups? And yeah, if there are more founders who want to raise money for their businesses, like what do you think is the reason?
The reason is that they hit some numbers. Our advantage as a region is that we have the tech skills. So they are able to build, to bootstrap, to have the MVP. They get some numbers, but they need money. They need to secure money in order to go to the next phase. So that's why How2Web have this. I'm not sure if I should call it success. It's just the fact that we identified that there is a need in the market, and the need is for those who already have their product. In fact, this is how we design the programs. We design the programs for those who already have some traction in the market. They already launched their product. They are now in the phase where they need business or they need money for their next phase. So yes, they are bootstrapping, but yes, they need the money in order to grow. Otherwise, it's going to stay like an MVP. What I've seen, and this is quite funny, is that they are most of them, they are applying with the email address from their current company. Usually they are working, they have like a 9-to-5 job somewhere. But they are building a pet project, and they've been struggling a lot to put the product in the market, to have those calls with potential clients, and having acquiring some users. And they want to go from this phase to being a full-time entrepreneur. So they need the money to shift. Maybe it's a cultural mindset. Maybe they just need to have the security that they can, continue growing their family and following their life while building a product. And this is a culture mindset shift. I think what's happened, what we are seeing now. It's interesting, to see them that they are applying with an email address and then they are writing another company name in the form. So you don't know exactly what you are evaluating, but after a short chat with them, you understand exactly what's the current status.
Okay. All right. So maybe I think like what I see here is maybe like in a way that search for investment is also search for expertise, because like you said, maybe they don't know how to go to market, and in a way that like if they raise it some investment, then they get the VCs potentially to kind of help them with the knowledge, but also they will be able to hire people who might know how to do it already.
The greatest teams that I've seen on stages at Hot Web are the tech teams. Usually, they don't have the business knowledge. They learn as they are doing it. And for sure, they need some support on the business side, growth side. For sure, they can develop the product. And they have like sometimes fully fledged product already launched in the market, and they have no clue how to acquire the clients. And the product is really good. I mean, I think one of the investors we had at the conference said, like, oh my God, I've met a great, great founder, but it was so difficult for him to pitch me the business side. I mean, everything on the tech was brilliant. But it took me like half of the meeting just to help him pitch me. I think they actually closed the deal with the fund, but it was a really interesting takeaway from the side. And I think their next thing is to hire a salesperson in the company.
Okay, so it seems like it's more of tech founders kind of looking for, for their marketer, for their salesperson, for some kind of processes to put it on the market, which again plays into the whole narrative that you were talking about, that you guys are great developers, but so far the business side has been lacking a little bit. But what else are founders talking about at the conference? I mean, you get access to this great pool of founders, entrepreneurs. What are the common challenges that are being discussed at the conference?
From last year, 100% it was the fundraising. Then the very next, it was about acquiring clients, changing the business model, and growing the team.
Okay, because I
Once
think.
they, I mean, these are, but I think these are like very common challenges for all entrepreneurs around the globe. I don't think it's just for the region.
Okay. No, it's just it's very interesting if there is any, if there is any difference, for example, like what people discuss at SaaS Talk Dublin versus SaaS Talk Austin, and then you kind of meet in the middle, like in Croatia or Romania, and like how different is it? Is it the is it the same challenge kind of globally, or maybe because of the, like you said, cultural differences, or maybe the way the business is structured, there are still some differences there.
I think the challenge will stay for early stage will stay the fundraising and acquiring the clients. And that's because also on the investment side and in the market, investors need to understand if the founder can run the business. So they need to see a bit of traction and experience on this side. And also the client also needs to have some kind of proof of or the validation that the product is used by someone else. So acquiring those first clients will set the path for the startup, if it's going to be successful or not, if they will get actual data from the market or not. And what I've heard is like this is a common challenge. It's not something we only have in this region. One thing that I've seen happening last year is that the founders, they want to be in touch with other founders. They want to learn from those who are or were in the same process as them, so they can learn from their experience. I think this community, having this access to the community of founders, and learning from their past experiences and, mistakes. Usually we learn from mistakes, not from our point.
Yeah, so this is exactly what we see in our events. I mean, you've been there, and it's a very small gathering, but there is a reason for that, because we want founders who are kind of similar stages, similar ARR, similar time on the market, so they have really fairly similar challenges to discuss and maybe went through similar mistakes. Like, I remember when we started this AI conversation, it just exploded, and it was such a, a vibrant kind of few moments when everyone, and it turns out everyone is confused. I mean, some are using it, some are not, but everyone is on edge a little bit. Like, are they doing the right, is it the right choice, what they went with? But how are you evolving and kind of choosing the tracks and the themes for the conference? Like, do you talk to people who went there before? Do you reach out to people who you want to attract to the conference? Like, what is the process there?
This episode is sponsored by Rewardful. Looking for new ways to find customers for your SaaS business? Consider building an affiliate program. Rewardful is the easiest affiliate tracking platform to set up, manage, and scale for SaaS companies. Building a successful affiliate program can be a little bit intimidating at first, and that's why Rewardful has taken what they've observed from their most successful customers' affiliate programs and distilled that into an exclusive online course. The exciting part? Their affiliate marketing course is absolutely free. Start the course at academy.rewardful.com. academy.rewardful.com. And turn your biggest fans into your best marketers.
Both ways and even more. What we are doing, we have first a couple of people that are part of the curation team for the content. And they are actually builders from big tech companies, from startups, from scale-ups. I mean, we try to make it as diverse as possible. So we stay up to date with what's right now trending in the market. Then we have the conversations and we collect the feedback from the previous participants. But here it's something challenging, because they are buying tickets and they join the conference because of the agenda, but they don't actually join the stages during the conference because they are staying for the networking side. So this feedback, it's kind of biased. They try to come up with something because they know that it was interesting, and the conversation ends with, but do you have the recordings from those sessions? Because I've missed. So we get the feedback, but we also talk with actual people right now working on building their products, actually with the audience. itself, with the founders, of course, but we know that they come because they see the names and they stay for the networking. So we solved that with networking app, with networking tables, infrastructure. They have everything in place. And we go down to their teams and those who are actually building the products, the development side, the product managers, the marketing team, and we try to understand what are their challenges. For example, I just had a call just before our session, and it was a product marketing manager. And she said that the main challenge right now is to help her team go from the mindset of we know how to build products and we go back to our engineers and we say build the very next tech, to we go in the market, we follow the trends, we understand the trends, and we choose the very best one or two waves, and we go back to the engineering team, ask them for a solution. So what they are trying to do and their challenge is to shift the mindset from using our best skills in looking into the market and have this entrepreneurial mindset. So now our challenge is to understand what would be the very best topic to bring on the stage, because I think the topic itself in shifting the mindset, it's about where you are going to look into the market. How do you use the AI and LLMs so you make the best of it and make the best decision? Are you going to scroll the internet or ask the GPT, or are you actually going to talk with potential clients because you have seen some trends in the market? So right now, I'm in the middle of the process. Of course, we have a couple of speakers, headliners. We are confirming already because it's crazy how fast you need to move around this. But I guess it's going to be, as always, a very thin red line you can follow during the conference based on the level you are right now in the company. So I'm looking forward, because I am in charge of the agenda starting this year. Each year I choose a challenge, a topic that I have no clue how to do it. So I will keep you updated on how it's going. And I am actually looking for feedback and ideas.
All right. That's super cool. That's really interesting what you're doing. I think it's very smart in a way, because if you kind of don't know what to do or how to do it, then you don't know the limitations either. So
absolutely,
very creative.
Absolutely. But what I have in mind here is to think about the agenda like a mini course. So an infinite learning inside the conference, and to identify yourself with the mini course and somehow to draw the line for the participants.
Okay, well, we can cover the last part, you know, the selling of the company, just saying.
That's actually a very interesting topic, to go from zero to hero, because you have the MVP stage. Usually entrepreneurs are somewhere, they already have the MVP, so they need to follow all the stages until selling the company and what's happening after that. Because it's not about how do we sell the company? It's more about what's happening with us after we are selling the company. And that could be a very good topic.
Okay, noted. Happy to talk about that. Okay, it's very interesting what you said, by the way, about the fact that less and less people kind of follow the real agenda and go to stages, which is, you know, I know it's a hard kind of balance to pull. Like, for example, I interviewed the guys from Sassiest, and what they were saying is, well, in order to kind of keep bringing really high profile speakers, they actually make sure that they lure people into the holes, because, well, if there is no audience for your stage appearance, well, it may not be that satisfying for the speaker either, but I totally get the idea of like, we come for networking. And yeah, I'm very curious how you handle this networking part and what is that you're talking about with the, you know, curating the talking and yeah, kind of mixing people together.
That's so hard to manage. That's so hard to manage. I think how you can solve this is just to grow in numbers, but not in numbers of entrepreneurs and business, in numbers of operators who actually needs to learn. Is the entrepreneur or the team? So I think you just need to bring their teams as well, not only the founders and the C-levels, depends on the conference and the topic, but those who actually need to learn. Because otherwise, of course, that you have competing networking infrastructure with a competing agenda, they will choose what's right now burning. And I think what's right now burning for everyone is the business side. They need to do the money. They need to make sure that they have the right partnerships, the connections and everything. So they will naturally focus. If their objective is to build and grow the business, they will naturally go for the networking, and they will think that, you know what, I can maybe listen a podcast, or maybe I will get a recording, or I will read about this topic later because I have this massive opportunity to connect with and know the next 10 potential clients for me.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, you can't force people. I mean, you really can't force. We've tried everything. And the conclusion is just you let them enjoy what they're doing because they are staying there for a reason. I think it's more important to understand their needs and deliver value for them rather than forcing them to go into the halls and listen a talk. Because naturally they will go. Sometimes you need to announce what we have done. We just had a very big speaker, and Alex, my colleague, was just walking outside and saying, next talk is on growth with the guy from Netflix. And the next talk is the latest unicorn in the region. Just announcing, because sometimes they just forget, even if they have the agenda on their phones, they are just hooked in the conversation. And sometimes they need to have this from the outside, but not forcing them. I mean, there is no reason.
Yeah, yeah. Awesome. All right. Yeah, thanks for walking me through this. All right. So let's do a quick recap. So what's the ICP for the conference? Like, who do you want to see and who it may not be the best fit for?
I will start with who is the one who should join the conference. If you are right now building your product or building your growth strategy or your team and the culture of your team, then this is a place for you to learn from people who are already doing it at the very next level. If you are an entrepreneur or an investor, then this is also the place to be for you to connect with what's happening in the region. And if you are selling services and products for other businesses in tech, then it's also a very good place for you to be. And of course, for tech and startup communities, because it's the very next good place, I would say, to connect with each other, to find mentors, investors, pipeline for your products. I mean, that's why we are building the hot web. And maybe something that I should mention here, what we have heard about hot web is that they love the conference because it's still small and it has this sense of community, and you for sure will find someone who will introduce you to someone else because they just know each other from different events or maybe from previous editions. So we want to keep it small, sweet and small, I would say, and have this experience of coming back to your family and run business with them.
Okay, that's beautiful. Thank you. And yeah, I think even at our event, like it was so nice to, not everyone knew everybody, but it was still kind of like, okay, I've heard about your company, or like we've been to this community together. So it's kind of like close to home. So I think, yeah, I think I really like what you're doing. All right. Well, just the last couple of questions, the usuals here. First one is the biggest win and the biggest failure. And it can be your personal journey with the conference or the conference itself.
This is a very tough one. It's hard to choose. For sure, the biggest win is building the team for myself in terms of this journey of building the HowTech conference. It's actually gathering the people around me, and without them, for sure, it would not be the HowTech as we are seeing right now. So this is the biggest win. I'm still in the process, but I think I did a very good job until now. Hopefully they will see the same. The biggest failure, I think it was inside the conference, my first edition. I chose a provider for the check-in and badge printing. It was my first experience. I had no clue. This is me defending my my choices. And it was maybe 5 to 10 minutes before kicking off the event. And I was in the main hall testing everything, preparing the keynote speaker I supposed to open the conference. And I had maybe 10 to 15 people in the room. A room, I think it was around 900 seats. So I said, okay, what's happening? This is the biggest fear I think every organizer has. Is anyone joining actually the conference? I mean, they bought their tickets, they are opening the emails, but do they show up? So I went outside. I was already, you know, a bit dizzy. I didn't know exactly how to handle the situation. And outside, it was a sea of people waiting to enter the building. And the issue was the actually printing system. It was some kind of, I don't know, technical issue. I've learned later about that. So I had 1,000 people, maybe more, 1,300, entered the conference the first hour. Usually, and it was capped to 2,000. So that was massive. And I had Bogdan came to me and said, Monica, we have this situation. What are we doing right now? So I said, you know what? Can we check for tickets, at least to know that they are for sure joining the right conference? Is the system working? Yes, we can do it by phone, but we can't give them the name and the badge. Do we have the badges? Yes. Okay, let's just take some pens and the badges and just handle them like one by one. And we did the check-in maybe in 20 to 25 minutes. I have no clue how we did it actually, because I have some blurry memories. I did not open the conference. I had the other partner, Alex. He did the opening for the conference. I can't remember what happened the half day. It's a learning. I mean, we've solved. That was my priority for the next year. And the next year, my marketing manager said, like, I did not have pictures, photos to show the full audience and the participants, you know, that you have on the internet pictures with so many people with a room or a garden or something. We did not have that because everything was flawless the next year.
Okay.
So I think that I could have checked maybe before. I checked, but with small number of participants, maybe 100 events with 100 people, and it worked like quite well. I had no idea that I should scale that to 1,000 and it will crack. No. Learning. Yeah. People, they don't remember, like the participants, they were not remembering the fact that they were waiting in queues. I mean, it was that huge that I had the police. They came to the conference. They were checking what's happening there because the street was blocked because of the Ubers and Bolts and everything. I mean, it was just packed. Everything.
That's crazy. That's a good learning, though. But, you know, you came through. And, I mean, it's a tech conference. If nothing with tech goes on at a tech conference, it's magic. I mean, it's always
absolutely.
All right. Yeah. That's awesome. Thanks for sharing that. And, the last one is always a hack, right? And can be, you know, it can be anything. It can be scaling this beautiful operation. It can be, you know, growing a community. It can be picking the guests, or it can be, you know, something that helps you to go through all this amount of stress and pivoting and learning. So anything you can share.
Well, there is a saying in my team that Monica needs a mosh pit once per month. What I am doing, maybe not a hack, but just a habit, that every single day when I go to sleep, I ask myself, did I learn something today? Did I fail? And what can I learn from that failure? Am I at peace? And usually the answer is yes, yes, and yes. I fail fast, I learn fast, and I'm at peace with this part. And if I somehow don't feel comfortable with what I've done, or there is something that I could have done better, I just open my laptop and just do it so I can sleep. It helps me. And for sure, it helps the fact that I'm listening a lot of music. I try to learn. I told you that I try to learn playing guitar. My dream is to open the conference, you know, like a rock star.
Okay. And not sure when. Heavy metal, is it?
Yes, heavy metal.
Okay. I know nothing about this, to be honest. But what's your favorite band?
Oh, for sure, you know. You at least once heard Metallica somewhere.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So, you know, that's more like trash.
It's trash metal. Pleasure. We call them guilty pleasures.
Exactly. But, you know, that annoying noise that you hear sometimes, and it's called music with a lot of loud, loud, loud noise. That's heavy metal usually. The difference is that you understand sometimes the words. So you can follow the lyrics. But that's how I've learned that I focus. I need to hear that loud sound and chaos. So I somehow structure my mind around that. Not sure, maybe it's something wrong, but I just love it and gives me a lot of energy and focus. So I'm just using it.
Okay. Well, maybe, you know, people who listen to this will recognize themselves and relate to it and be like, oh, okay, not the only one.
You are not alone, for sure. If you are listening this and you feel like something is wrong, that you don't focus on listening piano music, but instead of something super chaotic, you are not alone.
Okay, that's a great way to finish the podcast. We are bringing communities everywhere. But awesome. Well, thank you so much, Monica. It's been a pleasure chatting with you as always. Happy to, you know, find a way to also participate, bring some value from our side to How to Web. See you again. And yeah, see how it works, because this is going to be the first How to Web, I believe, for SaaS Group. So yeah, looking forward to it.
Thank you so much, Anna. I'm looking forward to welcome you again in Bucharest at How to Web as well. I think this year I'm going to be there at the front door welcoming people. I feel more relaxed, but it's just with the experience.
Yeah, for sure. All right. See you there. And thank you so much for being here.
See you soon. Thank you. Bye.
And take care.
That was yet another awesome conversation on SaaS Unbound. We're always looking for new guests to share their experiences. We mostly talk with bootstrapped SaaS founders, and if you're one, reach out to me directly at anna@saas.group or find me on LinkedIn. If you're not bootstrapped or even not SaaS but have a great story to tell, we want to hear from you too. And obviously, SaaS Unbound wouldn't be possible without the SaaS Group, a founder-friendly private equity company that buys awesome businesses that people love to take them to even greater success. If you're thinking about selling your company or just exploring your options, feel free to visit saas.group, fill in the form, and expect a response in under 24 hours.